This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. We learned in the first Mishnah of the previous Perek that when it comes to Klei Cheres, earthenware utensils, Shvirasan Hi Taharasan, breaking them is the way they become purified. So if a Klei Cheres contracts ritual impurity, the only thing that will cause that Tumah to depart is if the Klei Cheres is broken. Of course, if it's totally broken into small pieces, it ceases to function as a Klei Cheres anymore. It's not a Kli anymore. If it's not a Kli, then by definition, it cannot maintain Tumah and certainly cannot become Tameh. Let's say this Kli did not previously become Tameh, then it was broken, and then a source of Tumah touches one of the small pieces, and that would not become Tameh, simply because that little piece is not a Kli. It's a little fragment of something that used to be a Kli. We learn in our parak that for an earthenware utensil to become pure and impervious to further Tumah, it doesn't necessarily have to be broken into many small pieces, or even broken at all in the conventional understanding of that word. Rather, a Kli Cheres could be considered halachically broken, and therefore tahar, on the mere basis of a hole in the bottom of the vessel. That is, if the hole in question is large enough that it's presumable that the owner would not be interested in keeping the vessel anymore, he would discard it, we would then say that even though the overall structure of the Kli is still there, but since it no longer has a functional toch, it doesn't properly contain anymore, to the point, again, that people would throw it away, as a result, it would be considered halachically broken, and therefore would be tahar. If there was tumah, the tumah would go away. And if there wasn't tumah, going forward, it would not be makabel tumah, wouldn't be susceptible to becoming tameh. The Mishnah explains how large the hole would have to be for the Klei Cheres to be rendered tahar. The Mishnah says, Shir Klei Cheres letaher, the size of a hole that render an earthenware utensil as tahar, is as follows. Ha'ose la'achlin, for dealing with a utensil that was made to hold foods, shiru b'zeisim, and the hole has to be large enough to allow olives to fall through. Even though conceivably one could still use the container to hold larger items like walnuts or dried figs, but nevertheless, since in general, once there's a hole that allows olives to fall through, people won't keep such Klei Cheres anymore. At that point, it would be considered halachically broken and therefore tahar. Regarding ha'asai l'mashkin, it's a Klei Cheres that's made to hold liquids, shi'iro b'mashkin. The halach is that if the hole is large enough to allow liquids to escape, meaning not only will a little bit drip out, but liquid would come in. If the hole is that large, at that point, again, people wouldn't consider it worthwhile to keep it and maybe catch a little dripping below. That's not worth it. A lot of liquid is coming out. It's already a significant amount coming out, so it's generally discarded. Therefore, at that point, it would be considered a halachically broken Klei Cheres and is therefore tahar. As far as ha'asai l'kach u'l'kach, a Klei Cheres which is made to hold both foods and liquids, matilin oso l'chumro b'zeisim, we follow the more stringent shear. That is, we require the larger hole size of the size of a hole that allows olives to escape. That is, we would only consider tamei such Klei Cheres as tahar, as halachically broken, once it has the larger of the two holes, larger being, of course, the size that allows olives to escape. For since the Klei Cheres in question is also used for foods, it is required that its function for that particular purpose cease before we could say, okay, this is halachically broken, he's not going to keep it anymore, and thus it's tahar.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.